This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Mavericks getting reinforcements tonight. Dwight Powell, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Josh Richardson all scheduled to come back off of the COVID list. But this is an interesting question because I know some people's answer is already yes. Do you regret the Seth Curry for Josh Richardson deal now? Do you think Mavs fans will at the end of the season? And I want to go back real quick. We all liked the move. But do you feel like most Mavs fans, not most, a lot of Mavs fans at the time did not like the move because they're like, I've never heard of Josh Richardson, and I know Seth Curry.
I liked the move then because I was convinced that we had to be a better defensive team. I'm not convinced that this is a better – that the exchange for better defense for less offense, because the amount of offense you're missing everywhere was worth it. That being said, you know, Mike, you said this to everybody. Be patient, because by the end of the season, it's not going to start off this way, but by the end of the season, these things are going to be better. So how much more time do I have to give this thing is, I guess, my question to go along with this, because at the moment it doesn't look like it's paid off the way that we need it to.
Well, he got coronavirus, so it's impossible. It was, I'm trying to look real quick. Josh Richardson has played in 8 games, and then that was it. And then he went away. And I get it. There are a lot of people regretting this right now because Philadelphia is off to a really good start.
Seth Curry's been on fire.
He is. He's averaging 15.6 points. I believe the most he's ever averaged in his career. I'm trying to – it's slowly pulling
that
up.
That is correct. He's also shooting 54% from three, which is obviously insane.
He is, and he is off to a tremendous start. So I don't want to take that away from him as he is 30 years old. Josh Richardson's 27 years old. Richardson in 2018-19 did average 16.6 points per game. Not at the number of three-point shooting that Seth Curry can bring to a team. But I did think, and I still do think this, I think he can average 16 or more points per game on the Dallas Mavericks. And I'm talking about Josh Richardson. I am not giving up on this trade because he got coronavirus. And so I get where people are coming from, because Curry is off to a really nice start in Philadelphia, and in the 8 games that Josh Richardson played, it was not a major impact. And I know it feels like a long time ago, but when you were watching him right before he got coronavirus, the dude on defense, he's a complete player. The one thing about Curry is he's worthless on defense. Reggie, would you agree that Seth Curry is a worthless defensive player?
Absolutely.
I mean, you might as well just stand on the offensive end and wait for the other team to make the basket, and then he can try to help your team. And maybe so, right? But I would say that Josh Richardson is a complete basketball player. He is your best defensive player on your team. I really believe when the Mavericks are totally healthy, Josh Richardson is the best defensive player on your team. I would say Kleba second and Dorian Finney-Smith is third if I was trying to rate. And Porzingis is a borderline third. I would put him with, because they're different. But I do believe the way that Porzingis can defend the basket at times is a very valuable piece. I think once we get another 10 or 15 games into this season with Richardson coming back tonight, people are going to start turning in a positive direction towards Richardson. I think he's going to be, if we can get a championship team here, he will be your fourth best player. I do believe we have our fourth best player. Right now, he's your third. And I would say right now, Porzingis is a borderline two.
So
I'd like to make him number three, but I get it from Maverick fans that missed the three-point bombs that Curry would hit. But last year, it was 12 points a game. He wasn't averaging. You know, when you look at his stats, Seth Curry last year averaged on this team, and it was 45% three-point shooting, which is amazing. 12.4. We're not missing 24 points from him. It's 12.4.
So in your mind, is Luka 1, KP 3, Richardson 4 in terms of like your go-to, and we'll figure out who the second player is going to be, but that right. could be a championship lineup depending on who the second is.
Yes, I believe we're missing our second and fifth best player on a championship contending team.
You don't think THJ could be 5?
No. Oh. I think he's too streaky. I think he's a great sixth man. But I think he's too streaky. Now, it matters what your two is. If your number two player all of a sudden is, I don't know, you know, name somebody who's somewhere between like the 7th and 14th best player in the NBA. If you were to get somebody like that, yeah, you know what? Fine. He can be your 5th best player. But there's times where you can't play Tim Hardaway Jr. at the last 3 to 5 minutes. Even Rick Carlisle, with the talent that we have now, at times has said, I can't play him the last 4 minutes because he's missing everything. And Reggie, if you were to rank Tim Hardaway Jr., great, good, average, below average, horrible on defense, what would you give him out of the five categories?
Probably average to below average. And average, yeah. I'm trying to be, like, I think I'm trying to be optimistic in that way.
So that is where, you know, making this trade for Curry. Curry's pathetic or, you know, bad, whatever you want to put, on defense. And then you have Tim Hardaway Jr., who's at best average, being nice to his grade on defense. And so you replaced him with, I would say, I would get Josh Richardson close to great. I don't, because great would be you're making all NBA. You're a top 10 or 15 defender in the NBA, and I don't think he's there, but he's good. Josh Richardson is a really good defender, and he's an average offensive player. So you have an average offensive player with a good defensive player. You traded a good offensive player for a pathetic defensive player. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Curry is good and pathetic. And then you have a guy who's average and good is
but
what
Mike,
you traded.
The best defense is more offense. I was told that by Cobra Kai, and I kind of almost believe that because the Mavericks were able to put up so much fun offense last year.
But they decided as a franchise, we need to fix this. And I
do you think they regret it?
No.
Or do you think that they're okay with it?
No, because you also have to consider aspirations, right? If you look at any team that has made it deep in the NBA playoffs and ultimately won a championship, you need to have both sides of the ball in some regard. You don't need to be the best on both sides of the ball, but you need to be able to play a little bit of defense. And as it was constituted with the Mavs, you could not play defense the way that it was situated. You have to give something up. And as Mike stated, like, you weren't giving up as much. It was probably closer to a fair swap. But also, one thing when you look at the ascension of Seth Curry, if you want to call it that, with the Sixers, is that he's playing with better players all the way around, you know, and there's less of a focus on him particularly, so he's able to just go out there and shoot. In fact, he's playing with another shooter on the other side, Danny Green.
To your point, I think this is great here that you put this. When you are playing the Sixers, let's just put yourself, Tolos, in the coach's perspective. Who are we trying to stop first? We're trying to stop Embiid first. We're trying to make the game as hard as possible on Embiid. Second, we are trying to make sure that Ben Simmons stays out of the paint. However he gets in there, he causes havoc. He either makes stuff around the basket or he gets wide open shots for guys. We are going to now try number two on our defensive philosophy is we are going to try to stop Ben Simmons from breaking down the defense and scoring slash giving wide open looks. Number three, who are we worried about? I would say, if I'm a defensive coach, I'd say Tobias Harris is my number three that we need to slow down because he can do it all. He can drive to the basket and he can make wide open threes. And then I would say number four is Seth Curry. So all of a sudden, Seth Curry goes from, at times in the playoffs because Porzingis was out, he was the number two guy to stop. LA Clippers, when they were looking at Curry, said, we got to slow down Luka. Number two is if we shut down Curry, then they're finished because they have nobody else to go to. And so he's gone from number two to number four. Now, if you have Porzingis, he's more number three here. But to Reggie's point, the scouting report on Seth Curry is we have to somewhat leave them open. If we don't, are we saying we're just going to single up Embiid and let Ben Simmons drive one-on-one the whole game? Because that's what they have on their team, plus Tobias Harris. And so here's a little bit different. Now, what everybody leaves out of last year, and everybody loves to leave this out because of the offensive efficiency was number one in the history of the NBA. It was 28th in the last 5 minutes of games.
Yeah.
And we all know this from watching the NBA. The last 5 minutes means a whole bunch. You can be down by 8 points in the last 5 minutes and still win the game if you are unbelievably great in those last 5 minutes. What if you're pathetic in the last 5 minutes? So with Curry and Hardaway and Porzingis and Luka as kind of your main four last year, you were the 28th best offense in the NBA. Here's the problem, Corey. We're still that bad down the stretch because we did lose a better offensive weapon, mm-hmm. and we still only have one human being on the team who can dribble and pass the basketball.
Mm,
and so that's why I'm saying our number two guy, I don't know who it is, but when we get our second best player, and I'm really hoping it's either at the trade deadline or this offseason, that guy has to be able to dribble and pass because we only have one human on the team who can do that right now at a top 150 or top 200 players in the NBA level.
People are all across the board on this from the 214. You don't quite regret the trade yet because we haven't seen a lot of Richardson, but every single time I'm thinking we need buckets, I think about Seth Curry. From the 903, they could both average 16 points a game. You lose some three-point percentage, but you gain defense. From the 214, I didn't like the move because I was not convinced that his defense was going to make up for Seth Curry's lack of offense. And that's the issue that you talked about, is most of this stuff is still theoretical because Richardson got sick or he got impacted by the protocol, so you haven't really seen what he can do. And then from the 817, Mike is doubling down. From the 940, we should have kept Seth Curry. And
you don't want to be wrong here.
It feels like, and I get where Mike's frustration is here because I mirror the same frustration. You're remembering only the good times of Seth Curry, right? Like you end
that's
up going.
What we do, yeah.
If he was better, Reggie, right? He would have averaged 20. Where's the 20 point per game every time out? If he was that good offensively, go ahead, Reggie.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I mean that's exactly. He's a role player, and he's a good one. He's a damn good role player, but he's a role player. So I feel like honestly, it's almost like a small mentality from Mavs fans looking at this, going, "Well, we want that old thing back. That old thing wasn't doing that much for you. You're remembering only the good times and not the negative and the downsides of it, comparing it to your current situation. Your current situation isn't absolutely where you need to be. You absolutely need to still grow as a team. You need to make moves. But that was an upward move. At the worst, you could say it's a lateral move. And I think that at that point, questioning it to the point that we are is a weird thing to do.
Okay, if I could just play devil's advocate, in the long run, at worst, it's a lateral move. As of now, it has been a negative. Because you have a player who hasn't been there for whatever reason. It can be, I know why he's been out, but that's how people look at it.
And it's been fewer than 20 games. Like, you can't really
that's
evaluate
I said,
very much.
Of course you can. That's what I said. Thus far, I'm not saying this is how it's going to be at the end of the season, but with given the sample size we have right now, Seth Curry is shooting more than 50%, and he looks fantastic on offense, and Josh Richardson has been mediocre at best when he's been on the court, and then he's missed half the season. To this point, that's all you have to judge on. I don't think that's how it's going to end up, but that's why Mavs fans get upset.
And then let me say this, because yesterday, Gavin, at 2 o'clock, I listened to G-Bag Nation at 2 because he really wanted to talk about, you know, somewhat my opinions on the Mavericks. And I thought he had valid points. I really liked what Dawson said, and I'll tell you what I texted him after that segment. I said, I think what you said, a lot of it I agree with. I think I'm too worried about what I've seen through 17 games, and especially with having four of your guys out. But I would say, I think you're being too optimistic, because he did say that Dorian Finney-Smith and Maxi Kleba, and Jeff did question him on this. He said that they're two of the best defenders in the NBA. And there's no way you can be that bad on defense last year if you had two of the best defensive players in the NBA in your rotation last year in the bubble and throughout the regular season. So I think he's being very optimistic on everything coming back from the Mavericks, because Luka does have to do 100% of the offense. Luka might not score 100 of the points, but he is accountable for 100% of the Mavs offense. And that is very tough when you look at, is LeBron accountable for 100% of the offense of the Lakers? Is Kawhi for 100% of the offense the Clippers? Is Jokic 100% of the offense? Luka is 100% of the offense here. That is a lot to ask of a human being to be, and it was asked of LeBron James in Cleveland his first 5 to 7 years there. You need to be 100% of the offense. It doesn't mean you score 100% of the points, but you run the whole offense 100% of the time, and Luka is asked to do that here.
If you're looking for something encouraging about those three coming back, the net defensive rating for the Mavericks while they were out dropped from second in the league to 17th in the league. So hopefully you're about to get a big lift up with those guys returning.
I do think the Mavericks, so everybody understands, because, you know, everybody hears what they want to hear, and I understand that. I hear what I want to hear at times. I think the Mavericks are going to finish somewhere between 6th and 9th place in the the West this year. Gavin feels like they're going to get the 5th seed. So I could see them getting all the way, and I could see them getting 5th. I will say this. I will be surprised if they get to the 5th seed this year. But I will also be surprised if they fall out of the 9 spot. Like, I do think they'll be end up being somewhere between 6 and 9. And I do think this, guys, I do think this will be a wake-up call for Mark Cuban and what he really has on this team.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.